In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. The apostles gathered around Jesus and they told him all that they had done and taught. After last week's dismal gospel reading, what a joy it is to imagine this week's gospel reading. A couple of weeks ago, you heard the beginning of the sixth chapter of Mark, where we continue today, where Jesus sends the disciples out. And in today's gospel, the disciples are back. The gospel speaks to our current time and place on a number of levels. I look and see some of you back for perhaps the first time. In Godly Play, our Sunday school formation for children that will begin again in the fall, we ask the students, I wonder which part of this story is about you. Well, today we hear of the disciples' return to Jesus. Several of you have told me about your adventures in this COVID tide that we've been living in, and many of you have welcomed new puppies into your home. My friend, the Reverend Jason Emerson, pictures the apostles in this scene this week as kind of like a pile of puppies. Here's how my friend Jason imagines it. Have y'all seen one of those puppy memes or YouTube videos where there's a pile of puppies rolling all over each other? And the mama dog is sitting there like, all right now, y'all just let me know when you want to calm down. And my friend Jason said that's how he imagines the apostles when he hears this story. In so many places, people are gathering again. There are many of us who've been in places where we feel like we're part of that pile of puppies, seeing family members and friends again, exchanging hugs, sharing meals, sharing stories about this past year and a half apart. A couple of weeks ago, I watched as many of you came to the ice cream social hosted by Reverend Olivia and her wife, Molly. Many of you hadn't seen one another since March of 2020, and you ran to embrace one another. You proceeded to show one another pictures on your phones. You continued to go back and forth with great vigor, fueled by the sugary scoops of gelato. There is this energy, this joy in return. So you might have found yourself in this story, this gospel story, as part of the metaphorical puppy pile. Well, the gospeler Mark first notes this about his disciples, this excited energy. And then the gospeler turns to what's happening in the foreground. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. I've noticed since we have returned to many of our former activities, vaccinations received, mask mandates lifted, there has been this kind of frenetic energy. And I don't think it started with the return. Do you remember how it felt on March 15th, 2020? We had to warn you all not to come to church. Reverend Olivia and I were frantically placing a cell phone on a stack of prayer books, figuring out how to live stream worship for the first time. Some of you were in New York City. You were preparing to sing at Carnegie Hall. And instead, you watched the lights go out on Broadway. That was the season of Lent. I had this Lenten practice during that season, a year and a half ago. I decided I'd limit my screen time. And suddenly, daily updates from Governor Mike DeWine and Dr. Amy Acton had everyone's television sets on at 2 o'clock p.m. each day in Ohio. Then there was nowhere to go. But our minds and our hearts were coming and going. There was no leisure even to take a breath for some of us. 16 months later, that moment-to-moment energy has wearied most of us and conditioned many of us to bring that frenetic energy into our current comings and goings. And then there's the big picture. The end of the gospel story today features clamoring crowds seeking healing, seeking hope. The gospel says they rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard Jesus was. Now, I'll give you a geography lesson right now. The Lake Gennesaret, where Jesus took those disciples out on that boat, they took a straight shot across this lake. But getting around Lake Gennesaret by foot, all these crowds that heard about Jesus and followed him, that took a significant amount of more time. But those people on foot beat Jesus and the disciples over to the other side to meet them as they disembarked. This is how hungry they were for the healing of Jesus that they'd heard about. Another reality many of us have faced is not only the mass sickness from the virus, but the mass unease and instability these past months have brought on. A rush for an emergency approval for millions, hundreds of millions of people to receive a vaccination. A wave of people sick with and dying from a novel virus. Malaise and languishing are old words that have reemerged in our common vocabulary, because so many of us have experienced one or both in the past months. I wonder where you find yourself in the story. You might relate some days to the exuberant disciple puppy pile. You might relate to the frenzied foreground, or that bigger picture being part of a culture of malcontent. Or perhaps you relate to Jesus. You found refreshing rhythms of both rest and action in these past months. You have found a peace that passes all understanding. That is good news. If that's where you are modeling that good news with your life. Tell the rest of us about it. It is the common theme in today's gospel, it seems, that all around Jesus, however, is this pervasive restlessness. Now, it's perhaps a relief to know that restlessness is not a modern or even a postmodern phenomenon. There was restlessness amid and among the early followers of Jesus. There has been restlessness ever since. Jesus, as he looks around at his disciples rollicking with the frenzied energy, he looks at the constant coming and going of the people around him. Says to the disciples, come off by yourself. Let's take a break. Get a little rest. In about the year 400 in the Common Era, Augustine of Hippo wrote, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. Our restless wanderings find focus and confidence in the practice of rest. 3 years ago, Presiding Bishop Michael Curry introduced the way of love to the Episcopal Church, practices for a Jesus-centered life. 6 of the 7 practices require this mode of action: turn, learn, pray, worship, bless, go. But there is the 7th critical practice to living a Jesus-centered life: rest. When was the last time you practiced rest? Jesus shows the disciples a way to rest, to stop what they're doing and come away. Now, I think that translates in a couple of ways. One is to literally stop what you are physically doing and to take yourself to a restful place. And Jesus gives you permission to do that if you need to get away. And another one, you may have said, I rested a lot during COVID and I'm tired of resting. I was in my house for month upon month. Did the wanderings of your mind ever rest, though? Another way to translate Jesus' invitation to come away and rest is to stop the wanderings of our minds and to bring our thoughts to a quieter, more centered place. When was the last time that happened for you? When was the last time you let yourself take a nap? Take a whole day just to enjoy, to recreate, enjoy recreation. When was the last time you dropped what you were doing, especially when the energy was demanding and chaotic, and got away from it to take a walk? Simply do something for yourself. And then there's that mind piece. Can your mind permit moments or minutes of silence? Are you able to let your thoughts flow in and flow out? Or does your mind seize upon the thoughts? Do you let them spiral and control your mind? No matter where you are in the seeking of rest today, Jesus blesses your rest in today's gospel. So wherever you find yourself in this story, Jesus loves you and embraces you just the way you are, but also invites you to place your restlessness on a shelf for a bit, to be nourished by resting with him. I'll conclude with a poem by American poet, and I would call modern day prophet, Wendell Berry, that blesses your rest. The mind that comes to rest is tended in ways that it cannot intend, is born, preserved, and comprehended by what it cannot comprehend. Your Sabbath, Lord, thus keeps us by your will, not ours. And it is fit our only choice should be to die into that rest or out of it. Amen.